All right, you guys ready? Last week, if you're here, we did I called it Bible love. So in continuance of that, because as we were driving home, I said, Tracy, in the beginning of it, I said, in the conclusion of what I'm going to tell you, I've got, and Paul fit every one of these things. And we never made it to the conclusion. I got so excited and wrapped up in all those Bible verses that we never made it to the end. I'm telling you, we wasn't on the road for 5 minutes, I said, we got to continue on. So there's some good stuff in there. What I wanted to do, I just want to hit some highlights of what we did last week. Last week, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 was the hub verses, if you will, from everything that we were going through, okay? So I'm going to read it to you real quick just so we can kind of go through it, because there's a couple more things that I picked up on this that I just want to throw out. So Ephesians 3, 16 says that he would grant you, and okay, back up for a minute, because if you didn't hear this, this is a prayer that Paul was praying over you. And we kind of set an overview of Paul's whole being. He was so powerful and so filled with the Spirit that through revelation knowledge, not through hanging with Christ, just through revelation knowledge, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This is the same guy, Paul the Apostle, that if he had a napkin in his pocket, it could be shipped anywhere, and whatever somebody had, whatever ailment they had, it would be taken care of because the power juiced through that napkin and zapped whatever ailment out of whoever touched it. This is the same guy. So this guy that we're talking about is who is praying for you in Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. So again, listen to this as Paul's praying for you and personalize it. Last week I talked about personalize it. That he would grant you, he talking about God, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man, deep inside your heart. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, so the rest of the good old boys, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So just trying to get a hold of it on your own, it says you're not going to be able to do it. You need what he's praying for you here. That you might be filled. We're not talking about a partial thing here. It's talking about that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a powerful, powerful prayer, and I rewrote it in my own version based on looking up a lot of Greek words. But one thing I want to talk about here, in verse 18, it starts by saying, may be able. So all this prayer that he's saying, that you being rooted and grounded may be able to comprehend with all saints the magnitude, the vastness of God himself. This is that you may be able to. Well, if you really look at what that is, there's only one Greek word that makes up may be able in our English language. It literally means, so when we read it like that, you would think, well, I may be able to, right? Possibly, right? I mean, when you tell somebody, well, I may be able to help you, there's a might and there's a might not, right? So when you read it the way it's written in the English language, that you might be able to, we're not really sure. So this is some of the things that we got to talk about. We got to know that we know that we have the ability to comprehend the love of God, which is a huge thing. It passes all natural understanding. So the Greek word literally means to have full strength, be entirely competent, be able. So there's no may in the thing. So you being rooted and grounded in love are fully capable through his Spirit intertwined with yours to comprehend the love, the vastness, the magnitude God has to offer. It changes it a little bit when you really read it and understand it for what it is. It's not a maybe thing. It is a 100% for sure. If you're rooted and grounded in love, this prayer is for you and you shall be able to understand. It's a confident expectation, right? Like hope. You read it, it doesn't read that way. So we could skim over this stuff and say, well, maybe we can, maybe we can't. Maybe God's going to give me the information. Maybe he's not. I'm not really sure. Well, you can have full assurance if you understand what this thing is saying. You, being rooted and grounded in love, most definitely, without fail, have the full strength and are entirely competent to understand. That's what it really says. It just doesn't read that way. So you got to personalize it that as long as I'm rooted and grounded in love, this prayer that Paul's praying for me, I can understand. And I will understand because there's nothing in the Bible that's untrue. So that's why the whole thing was about Bible love. And that's where we're going to the whole thing, right? So is that a big difference in that? I mean, if you look at it and you understand, I mean, there's no doubt I have the ability to. It's not maybe. To me, it's a big difference. Maybe you guys aren't excited about that, but it's telling me I have the ability without fail to fully comprehend what he's talking about. We cut ourselves way too short by reading and just kind of skimming over stuff. Way too short. All right, you hit it on the head though. That we being rooted and grounded in love, that gives us the assurance that we will be able to spiritually understand the full magnitude of creation and the love of Christ. That's what it assures us of. To me, that's just like, uh-oh. But the question is, what if you're not rooted and grounded in love? Would Paul's prayer for you still operate effectively?
No, we have what we have today.
Is that the stopping block? So the rooted and grounded in love, as you read this whole thing, the whole basis for it is you being rooted and grounded in love. If not, does the prayer still work? No. If you're not rooted and grounded in love, you that may or you are fully strengthened or you have full competence to go forward is not there. So you have to be rooted and grounded in love. That's why I'm so, and I have been for years, so passionate about getting to a place that we are rooted and grounded in love. It takes you to a whole other level. So let me ask you something. I brought this up last week, and I've seen a couple twitches. You know, people wasn't really sure if I was saying what I said or not. But, I mean, I've really thought about it. I've studied throughout the week of how, I'll give you an example. For the longest time, I was thoroughly convinced, thoroughly convinced, the Old Testament law has been dealt with. We're not under law. We're under grace, right? Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So Jesus fulfilled it. I don't have nothing else to deal with. The law is no more. I'm kind of under this whole new dispensation, right? Does anyone feel like that or have ever thought along those lines? Are we still under law? We're not. So we're not under law. Again, I just want to throw this out here. You guys can fight with me about this. We can tear this thing apart because, I mean, this really, I want to know. Are we still under law? No. Anybody else? Yeah. Throw it out there, baby. The Old Testament law. I mean, if I asked you the question, you had to give me a yes or no answer. Are we still under the Old Testament law? Well, the whole law that was written, Ten Commandments was Moses, and then it just blew up, the whole law. Yeah, I know, people say there's different things. There's 316 different laws that tie to this. And no man could ever keep the law and all that kind of stuff, right?
We still have to love the Lord. The first four, we love God. And the other four, the other six is how we get to deal with each other. But we still need to...
Let's not tell... I just want to know. No. Are we still under that law or aren't we?
I would say technically yes, because we look at what the commandments were, they're ultimately
false. I don't think we're under the law in terms of... Under the law, we were dead in our sins. There was no forgiveness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
We were not reconciled to God yet because God had not yet sent Jesus. Because in the beginning, when they failed, God said he would put something between man, okay, and then Jesus was going to crush his head and all that kind of stuff with his heel and all that. He may bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He hadn't done that yet under the law. That mm-hmm. was yet to come. So under the law, we were dead and still separated from God. We are no longer separated from God through Christ. Because of what Christ did. He reconciled man back to God.
That's a great way to spin it. The question still remains, guys.
Well, I thought I was answering it.
No, I mean, are we or not? Is the law no more than for us? Because of what Christ has done, is the law now fulfilled and we don't have to have anything to do with it?
Because he said, before he says it, this I give you a new law.
A new commandment.
A new commandment.
That you love one another.
So I think we're still under the commandments, but we are not under the old Pharisee law.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm getting at. The commandments that we love one another and, mm-hmm. and shall not kill one another.
Right, so we all know what Jesus himself said. I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. Right, these commandments now I leave you. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I can go through the whole thing. So again, I just want to throw that up, dude. A lot of you guys are just thinking about
it.
Right? Not really sure. So that's a problem in and of itself. Are we, aren't we? We've got to get to a place that we can come together and go, these are the foundational truths. And we all know them, and we're all in sync, and we can move forward, right? So again, that's a little bit of a problem.
What you're saying. It's not that the things of the law are not pertinent.
Let me move on, and I'll show you. Let's see if we can do it. That's what we need right now. So for the longest time, I was under that opinion of, you know, Jesus came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled it. I had nothing to do with it.
Right.
In my mind, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Doesn't Paul even write that? Yeah, so we have all that. You know, he even goes on and says, because you're under grace, not under the law, shall you sin, right? So there's all kinds of things that go around that would make somebody think that. But let me ask you this, where it talks about we're not under law, we're under grace. Well, what if we don't have grace? Is the law still active in the background? Right? Are you automatically under grace?
No,
God says, I resist the prideful. I give grace to the humble, right? So there's some he gives grace to, some that he doesn't. Based on your own ability, right?
There was no sin until there was the law.
Right.
So I think it still carries forward.
It still carries forward.
Yeah.
Let me read a couple verses just to kind of throw this out there. This brings the fear of the Lord and the love of God together in my mind. Let me read James 2:8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. This is New Testament stuff here. So the law is still the law. Jesus came to fulfill it and has given us the ability to accept his grace and walk right over it. But if we fall short of grace, that law is still there in place. So then there's so many other verses that now connect the dots to me that show, well, let me show you one, for example. Galatians 5:14, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. What if you don't? So where are we at here? So I'm trying to open this up to a way to show you how important it is to, one, have the fear of the Lord, which we've talked about that several weeks. And then number two, to have the love fully being able to comprehend with all ability so you do not fall short of this. I mean, my God, it says, how can you love God who you haven't seen, but you don't love the neighbor that you can see? It's self-denial or self-deceit. It says that you're a liar. So we've got to look at people in a lot different light than what we have been taught over the last, I don't know how many years.
Too many.
This is James 2:8. If you keep the royal law found in Scripture, talking about Jesus' words from his mouth, this is what he says, I leave you one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what it says, if you keep that, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. Then James goes on and says, but if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. So can you love one person more than the other? In our human ability, our human mindset, yes. To me, that is falling short of Paul's prayer for us in Ephesians 3:16. If we're rooted and grounded in love, we should be able to elevate ourselves to the place that we no longer look upon people with our eyes and with our ears. We should be able to look at people in the light that God sees. Every single person that you walk by, it doesn't matter who they are. They're made in the likeness and image of our Creator ourselves. Everything that he's done for us individually, he's done for each and every other person. Who are we to cut that person short? Because we have this prejudice, this favoritism in the back of our mind. In my mind, we should be able to get to a place that we take off. And it doesn't matter if it's black or white, bald or hairy, fat or thin. We have all these things in our minds, right? We have all these prejudices. We have all these favoritisms. We have these mannerisms. We have all this man-made overlay that is not in Scripture. So we are drastically and majorly screwing ourselves up. There's so much more that was promised and prayed over each and every one of us. We're just not allowing ourselves to go there. And it's rooted and grounded in love. Like the Bible says, we should be looking, seeking for knowledge like it's the finest treasure on earth. And then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You understand the fear of the Lord, the love of God overwhelms you. You can't look at people the same anymore. So there are some dots that are just not being connected in the Christian walk out there today. And people think, hey, well, I'm saved. Jesus did it all. So I don't have to like you. I got to like you, but I don't have to love you. All this crazy talk that's out there. That's falling short of what the Bible actually says. It's falling short. And you even hear, I forgave them, but I'm just not going to trust them ever again. So think about that. If God forgave you in that manner, you ain't coming in the kingdom. Hey, I forgave him, but I don't trust he's not going to like.
And they disagreed with that. And I'm thinking, dude, I'm sorry. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Again, all those things that we hear, these problems, it does not line up with Ephesians 3:16 through 19. No memory. And that's what God says. I remember your sin no more. That means when you come to him, he don't go, oh yeah, I remember that though.
Therefore, I'm going to stay away.
I'm going to stay away. No, no, no. It doesn't work. Yeah. We can't do it in our human ability. That's where it says, then again, let's go back to Ephesians 3:16 through 19 because we can go right back to it. It says that He would grant you. So it's something that you're getting according to the riches of His glory, not your own human ability, this little peanut brain that's full of crap, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. So it's not your own inability, or it is your own inability. It's His ability working through you, like Paul said. It's no longer I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. We're not allowing ourselves to go to that level because we're so selfish and self-centered. It's our life, it's our world, you know, and that's truly what it is. We're not giving up. We're not crucifying our flesh daily. We're not carrying the cross of Christ. We're living our life and hoping, in the traditional American sense, for the best down the road. It's failing miserably. If you go back to look at all the love ones that I've done and then the fear of the Lord, if you go back and it tells you, if you eagerly search for wisdom like it's the finest treasure on earth, you will then understand the fear of the Lord. If you understand the fear of the Lord, it says He's going to jump on your back, man, and He's going to love you to where you can't stand it no more. Then this stuff is capable of happening through you.
People are confused about that term, fear of the Lord.
I know they are. Tell them to listen to the podcast from 2 or 3 weeks ago. All right, so let's go on, because I want to make sure we're pulling this out properly, right? These are big moments here. If the law is still in the background, Jesus gave us the ability to overcome it, but yet it's still there. We fall short. Remember, I keep saying there's no middle line. You were once a slave to sin, but He gives us the ability to make a decision to go, no, now we are a slave to righteousness. There's no middle ground. So if He fulfilled the law and now all we have is grace, that would mean there's a gray area. They're both still there. We can walk like Christ. We can get to a place where we don't sin. According to the Bible, it's power. It's power that we have promised to us. And every single Christian should be walking in that power. And we're just not. And even if you have an empowerment, you still have to do something with it. I can give you all the tools that you need. You still have to pick them up or even walk in and plug it in and go, how does this thing work? And go and use it. Empowerment still means you got to go do something with the power. It's harness. It's ability to do whatever you need to do with it, but you got to use it. So again, I'll give you a couple more verses, and then I want to get right into the how do you become rooted and grounded in love. And that's the conclusion that we left off last week that I didn't get to because I was so excited in the verses. And again, the same thing, and this ties back together with how do you do it. A couple of you guys were mentioned, well, how do you do it? Can I love someone more than someone else? Yeah, again, right, in our own ability. But some of these tough verses that we went through last week, like Luke 6:27. I mean, this is comical to me because we know Jesus had masses of people around Him. They were all coming to listen to Him. But He still starts out a lot of His sentences and says, but to you who are listening, I say. They're all listening. And where He says, those that can hear, let them hear. It's a heart issue. Those whose heart is soft and pliable will accept these seeds. That's what He's talking about here. So again, when we're reading this stuff, you've got to look at it. Are you ready to hear these words? Is your heart ready to hear these words? Most people just go, well, I'm listening. I hear it. That's not what He's talking about. You've got to be ready to accept what He's about to say because it gets pretty tough here in about 2 nanoseconds. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I think I'm getting that one down. If someone slaps you on the one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold from them your shirt also. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. And I'll just keep reading real quick. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? And aren't we so full of that? We've got this little box of life that we're walking in, and when we're only associating, we only love with those that love us, and if anybody has any kind of differences, we just steer away. Exact opposite of what this says. You want the full promises of this Bible, you better step out of your comfort zone and go touch anyone that's aggravating you and love them in a way that this says to do it. And it changes. Your whole world starts changing, I'm telling you. And believe me, I got people in this room that I'll tell you, people just don't like me. But once you get to that place where you're rooted and grounded in love, it becomes so easy to do. It's almost like if I don't do it, they're in trouble. They're made in His likeness and image, and He don't want anyone to perish. And my job is to bring people to Him. So if you look at it through different set of thinking and eyes, God's love, not your own ability, His ability. You operate in that ability, you can love anyone no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how they operate. You can do it. That's what's so exciting to me. Once you have a difference in what you're thinking, your mind operates totally different. So again, listen, I want to make sure that we stop here for a moment because Doug is freaking me out. You can do it, brother. And I'm telling you, and there's other people in the room that might be thinking the same thing you're thinking, right? And now I'm starting to see some head shaking. You're vocal about it. Everyone else is just sitting there. But they're thinking the same thing. If I can do it, every single person in here has the ability if they follow what this thing says. It's not that difficult. It is if you concentrate on your mind. I mean, they don't like me and they're doing this and they're doing that. If you're focused on that, then you're away from Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Think on these things. Be anxious of nothing. You're taking yourself out of the Bible principles and putting yourself in it. That's why you're jacked up. You got to remove yourself, and that's one of the ones I'm going to get to.
Yeah,
just hang tight for a minute. And it doesn't matter what the situation is, what the circumstance is, because everybody says, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Who gives a rip? If you really know who you are in Christ and this thing is for you, I mean, really? Are you going to, or is anybody in your surrounding area going to remember what happened 5 years from now? What about 10? What about 20? What about 10,000 years when you're ruling and reigning with Christ in heaven? Who cares? So it depends on how much stock you put on your personal feelings. That's how much credibility you're giving to it. And how defeated you become. Disregard all of it. Who cares? Focus on Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Start there. Be anxious of nothing. Nothing. It doesn't say unless you got to work a double. Or unless they pee on my Cheerios. Or unless they step on my dog's tail. Whatever it is. Be anxious of nothing. And then think on these things. Right?
It instills your joy.
All of it does. Let me keep rolling with these. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is it to you? So it's basically saying it means squat for you just doing what's good in your own eyes. Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is it to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, in case you didn't hear it the first time. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then, here's where the big moment comes in where we don't put very much stock in. Then, your reward, there's some rewards tied to this thing, will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. Because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Again, you just have to ask yourself as you're reading this, what happens if you don't participate with everything Jesus said? Is your reward great? Are you still children of the Most High just because you feel like putting yourself in that category? You know what I'm saying? So think about this. You want to live life contrary to this, but then you still want the rewards. I still want to be children of the Most High. I still want my rewards to be great. But you know what? This is just too dang difficult. Well, cry me a freaking river. Do you want the rewards? Do you want to be children of God or not? Then let's get with the program here. Let's do what this thing says. Let's love unconditionally. No favoritism. They are creatures made in His likeness and image as well. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So you might be the only light shining in that dark space. So that darkness is coming at you with fiercity. And if you cower back, you're both dark. If you stay shining light, maybe that's the one thing at that moment in your mind. I don't even want to say some of the bad words you start thinking. This creep, this idiot, this whatever, right? Maybe that's the one thing that they needed in order to push them over to the edge. And say, I'm just going to test this guy to see if he breaks. See if his Christianity is really real. That light has to stay shining always. Not partially, not sometimes, not only when you can take what's going on. Always, always. And that's what this thing is saying. Your reward will be great for doing these things. All right, you want to go through a couple more scriptures before we jump on the end? John 13, 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Again, this is a command. This is a not a maybe, not let's see how you feel today or tomorrow, maybe tonight, or maybe 15-minute break through the day. You must. This is a command that we were given. There's no middle ground. You were a slave to sin, now you're a slave to righteousness. It says you must love one another. So, hello, we've got to get to a place where that must is fulfilled. John 14, 15, this is Jesus. If you love me, keep my commands. What's his command? This command I give you. You love one another. It's very simple. John 15, 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. These are Jesus' words. Read it. It's in red in most Bibles. Romans 13, 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another.
Yeah.
Right? So no matter what someone says about me or about us or anything, my debt is to love that person. My debt doesn't go away because they don't love me. I'm still indebted to love them no matter what. That's the difference in your mindset when you get this Paul prayer in your life. That's how powerful this thing is. That's why I'm excited about it. Whoever loves others, okay, here's where I'm going to go back to where we started a minute ago. Let me make sure I pull back for a minute because this is exciting to me. And this is the way that we know that we are. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Did Jesus come to fulfill the law? Is it over? Or the debt that we have remaining, if we abide by what Jesus said in Luke, does that fulfill the law in our life? Yes, Jesus came to fulfill the law and he proved that it could be done and gave us the grace and the ability, the empowerment to do it ourselves. The law is still there. You read the Old Testament law, there's some scary crap going on. Yeah. We are still under that unless and only if we love people the way Christ loved us. But we've got to get a comprehension of how big that is. Go back to reading Ephesians 3:16 through 19. Paul prayed that you have the ability, full strength, full competence to do that. My God, the guy with the most revelation knowledge on the whole planet outside of Christ himself prayed for you that you would have the ability to comprehend what I'm telling you. We just got to get there. It's a whole nother world. All right? So it continues on. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Then it goes on. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be. So he wanted to make sure whatever you could think about, lumping it all together, he said whatever else there may be, all of them, any and everything that's on the planet that's ever been conjured up, all of them are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to your neighbor, therefore love, again, is the fulfillment of the law. So how do you fulfill the law and get out from under that curse? You love people without favoritism. This is what it just said. And it's so radically important that you get this because most people are still living in lack, some sort of health or mental problem. Most Christians that I know have some sort of craziness going on in their life. And it all roots back to this. All of it. There's no way that it can't. You have an ongoing debt that must be paid in order to be considered worthy. I mean, it's just clear to me. And I know we already talked about that, Galatians 5:14, the entire law is fulfilling, keeping this one command. So there's so much that talks about loving your neighbor is the fulfillment of the law. And Christ just was the first. So we kind of recapped a lot of it, but we went into a few additional things, which is good because it brought out a lot of feelings and emotions and how do I do it, what do I do? So I just wrote, so then how do you become rooted and grounded in love? And I think that tonight, right now, in a lot of people's minds, that's the million-dollar question. The heck am I missing and how do I get there? So I wrote down a whole bunch of things that I thought would get you there. A lot of them based on my own experience and how I've turned the corner. Number one, and this again, it's no particular order. It's no magic pill or potion to this thing. You know, yours might come a little different than mine, but this is what I wrote, right? So number one is I put you have to trust wholeheartedly in something bigger than yourself. Most people are so caught up in themselves they can't see past themselves. You have to trust wholeheartedly in something bigger than yourself. You know, whether it's heavenly rewards, eternal life, co-laboring on this planet with Christ himself. Isn't that what he said? We are co-laborers with Christ. Everything that he did, that's what we're doing. We're continuing the work that he put in motion. If we withdraw from that, we withdraw from him. That co-laboring today, believe it or not, is 100% greater works, saving souls. You know, and I mentioned a week or two ago how Paul said, I've become all things to all men. I'm able to dress up, suit and tie, Armani, and I can walk in and I can talk to the rich people. Or I can dumb it right down and I can walk over and I can hang with the people that don't even have a house or food to eat. Right? I become all things to all people, but the thing that saddens me is even Paul knew with all the revelation that he had, he says, I do this that I may be able to save some. God says, I don't want anyone to perish, but all to come, right? But Paul even says, read the Bible, even Jesus said, some. Many aren't going to believe. You know, just read it. You know, the path is wide to destruction. So when Paul says, I have become all things to all men, I'm trying as best as I can that I may be able to save some. That to me is sad. But that's what we've got to understand. Once we accept this Christ life, our goal is to do the greater works, and that's saving souls. That's it. That's the whole deal. So the other thing is trust wholeheartedly that you're acting out your part in the body of Christ. Because without you fulfilling your role, and I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's the pectoral muscle or the pinky toenail. If you have a part in the body of Christ, you're needed. So when you withdraw from that, the body of Christ is hindered. It really is. So when you participate in something bigger, like a team sport, 12 people on the team, if one walks off the team, it weakens it drastically. That's the same thing you've got to look at with your life. You've got to trust wholeheartedly in something bigger than what you are in your own mind, because you really are. You just use the body as an analogy. Somewhere in that body, you're fit, and you have a purpose that has to be fulfilled in order for this thing to work perfectly. So you got to think about that in yourself. Does that make sense? Number two, I put that you have to love yourself in light of scriptural truth, not in your mind and what you've been trained or taught or told all 29 years of your life. Talk about me here. Right? You guys too, 29, right? Most people have so much negative stuff in their mind, failures. You know, people are hindered by their own minds. You have to love yourself in light of scriptural truth. Think about it. And you use the Bible in a way that you personalize it. God sent his only son to die for me. I was on Christ's mind when he said, "It is finished." You personalize that, and then you love yourself for what you really are as a created being. There's no other created being in the cosmos that is loved the same way that we are as human beings. But yet we dumb that down to a point of we're just, you know. So you got to elevate yourself. You got to build yourself up in the spiritual truth. Then you love yourself with those kind of eyes. You look at someone else and, you know, okay, I can do that. How do you become rooted and grounded in love? That's number two to me. The mirror lies. The Bible doesn't. So when you want to look at yourself in the Bible and what it says about you, not in the mirror. Big, big, big difference. Number three, I have childlike faith that God is good regardless of the circumstances surrounding your life. Most people think God is good when everything is good.
Or they run to him when it's bad.
Yeah, they run to him when it's bad. You have to have childlike faith operating that God is good all the time. It don't matter what the circumstance is. Does not matter. And there's verses that back that up. God uses all things to good to those that love him. People just assume, oh, I'm a Christian, so that fits for me. Well, then we go all the way back to the beginning of this thing, and do you really? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. The commands are to love your neighbor as yourself, which we all are just admitting to, not really working. So how can you use everything to your good when you're not fulfilling your part? Come on, man. We can have that operating effectively and 100% in our lives, but we've got some responsibility. We got to love like he loved us first, and we have the ability to go and do it.
Well, I think we have to put things in action.
We have to put it in action. That's right.
That's why it's helped me doing the prison thing, going to the movie night. Just being there makes a difference.
Makes a difference in people's lives.
It's changing me.
Yeah, it does.
It changes you.
It does. It changes you. So continue on number three with a childlike faith. I put, you have to know that God is, and a lot of people really don't know that God is, like is. Consider all that is can be. God is. You have to know that God is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Going back to the knowledge, that's diligently seeking him. Like it's the finest treasure on earth. You want to seek wisdom. That's when you'll find the fear of the Lord. So number four, I got, understand that you were created in the likeness and image of God and that you were created to be in communion, daily fellowship with the creator of the universe himself. You got to understand that. That's some big moments in that. But that's what you were created to do, to have, to be. Fellowship with the creator of, we can't even grasp it. Scientists can't even find the end of it. The creator of everything, God is. They're still looking, and they always will. You'll find him when you love people. That's what's promised to us in the Bible. But we were built to have communion with him, like in the garden. Daily, in the cool of the day, he came and they talked. That's how our relationship is supposed to be. daily fellowship with Him, and then allow yourself to have that deep personal walk with Him, right? Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Number five, I've got, take your eyes off this fallen, what feels like sometimes God-forsaken planet. That's what we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Take your eyes off of that and put your sights on Christ by proactively, unconditionally, and without prejudice or favoritism, love people. You have to take your eyes off of this fallen, God-forsaken, feeling-like planet. Because it feels like that at times. I hear it all the time. I mean, why in the world would God allow all this stuff to happen? You are allowing it to happen. Take responsibility for it. God set us up for success. We, in our stupidity, is creating failure continually. The Bible has set us up for complete success. We're just not living it. So take your eyes off of the crap in this world and set it on Him. And how you set it on Him is by loving other people. You love other people, the problems in your life just melt. Like Lee, where I was just saying, my me going out and helping, it's changing me. Problems in your life just melt away when you focus on other people. Your problems go away.
My problems go away. Yeah. I don't think about
them. The last one I have here, and this might be the hardest one because this is what I think we were called to do, eliminate ourselves. It's not I that lives. It's Christ who lives in me, right? It's not my pleasures in this earth. It's His pleasures. And what is His pleasures? Getting to and saving souls. So is it me that's living or is it Christ? We've got to get to a place that we can eliminate ourselves from the bigger picture. The crazy thing about it is the more that we can eliminate ourselves from it, the more the promises and the more the blessings overtake us. So you can look at my life, the more we give and the more that we put forth and the more that we do, you can't just help. It says the things that you want in life will just happen. I don't go searching for the things that we want. Do I have passions about going and doing things? And they just kind of happen now. So the more we put in on that side, eliminating us, the pleasure of this world, they're not even that pleasurable, but they're just happening now. So it's a really cool experience, but most people look at it the other way. There's so much I want to accomplish in life, and then, once I do that, then I'll do some stuff for God. It's the exact opposite. Eliminate ourselves. A couple things that I put under that. One is, you know, look at people through the eyes of Christ. I kind of said this, but I'll do it again, just because reiterating what I said a minute ago is going to do nothing but help. So look at people through the eyes of Christ, through love. Every person, regardless of race, gender, intelligence, outward appearance, actions, were also created in the likeness and the image of God. Who are you to scoff at or mock or talk bad about another created being made in the likeness and the image of your Creator? Regardless of what they're doing. That's now you playing judge and jury. You're stepping over the line. God designed that person with inspiration. And we're going to look at them because we have this twisted version of what things should or shouldn't be. That's prejudice and favoritism. It shouldn't be so. Did I do Ephesians 5 too? Because I got a note on there. Let me make sure. So I'm going to open up in a minute because I want to talk about it just to make sure we're on the same page. But last thing I didn't talk about was Ephesians 5 too. I wrote a note back there. And this verse says, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Next week, I'm going to have a playoff of that in Romans 12:1. Because Romans 12:1 talks about us being a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So that ties into this. What if we're not? Are we deceiving ourselves? Yes. This is so awesome to me, guys, that we have the ability. No matter how tough it seems or all the things that you've got in your mind, I don't know, man, I'm far from it or I've got to do this. I mean, it's really, you know, from the very first one that we did in that 10-week series, making a decision. Go back and listen to that one again where I talk about making a decision, resolute decision that you will change not. Because the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you make a decision to love people unconditionally, that's it. You got to be firm in that, not change. If you change, are you then acting as a double-minded man, but you're still praying, asking for God for things, and then wondering why your prayers aren't getting answered? It says, let not him think he's going to receive anything from God. So we have to be resolute in our decision making to love people and then fully expect that we can fully comprehend the love of God and we could go to the next level. We have that assurance. Not only did Paul pray for us in Ephesians, but Jesus said, not only they, I pray for all those that will believe in me. So we have the top two biblical figures ever, both praying for our well-being. So what do we need to pray for? What do we need someone else to pray for us for anything? I mean, when I say it's been done for us, it's been done. It is so exciting to me. So that's why I'm starting to get ramped up and all just excited about this. Bible love. And again, I go back. I'm going to tell you one more time. John 14, 15, 21, 23, where Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. We already know what his commands are. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does he say? The Holy Spirit's going to be there. I'm myself. Jesus is going to manifest myself to him. The Father, me and the Father are going to come make our home in them. My God, if God the Father is residing on the inside of you, what in the world could ever go wrong? And how do we get that assurance? By keeping his command, and it's loving each other. If we do that, we fulfill the law, we have the promise of God residing on the inside of us, there's nothing that could be detrimental to our inner being that could stay. If we can truly get to that part, it can't stay. Nothing. There's nothing on this planet that could hinder your performance, inside or out, if we can get to that level. And that's what I'm trying to push for. Nothing else matters. Dude, I am psyched right now. Is there anyone not tracking with me?